Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. It's good to be here on another Sabbath day, another Sunday morning. We give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. It's just a pleasure to be able to have the Lord use me just to say a word about Him, about the kingdom of God. And I'm so grateful because I know that the Lord can use whomever He wish. And He just blesses me and blessed me to give me the honor of being able to be here to share words with you today. Having said that, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for being so good and for always being so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for sparing us this day and allowing our eyes to open up. Even on this side today, we're grateful. And Lord, I pray that even as you allow me, Lord, to speak the words you would have me to speak, let me do so. Heavenly Father, void of my pride and my ego and my vanity, Lord, but just to say that which you would have to be said. And praying, Lord, as always, that some soul be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified. Of this I do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, I ask that you turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Now, even though we're going to be looking at John, the 13th chapter, the 36 through the 38 verses, as well as the 14th chapter, the first through the seventh, I'm just going to read a couple of verses for you from the 14th chapter, the second and third verses. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, the second and the third verses. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of His word. I know that some of you have heard this passage of scripture many times, and a lot of you usually hear it, well, at funeral services. But today I want us to look at this passage of scripture from a different perspective. I would like for you to look at this passage of scripture as if Jesus was having a conversation with you personally. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you, as you hear this, read this, you take it in personal. And if you want to and you need to, where Peter's name is mentioned, maybe you might want to mention your name, or just imagine when he's speaking to everyone there. He's speaking to you personally. So I want you to take this word personally today. See if it has a different meaning for you. Okay. And today I'll do something a little different. I'll tell you exactly what our subject is at this point. What we're talking to you today about is a very simple theme, a very simple subject entitled Real Talk. Real Talk. Okay. Now, like I said, I want you to look at this passage of scripture as if Jesus was having a conversation with you personally. Now, allow yourself to think in this vein. You've been walking and learning under Jesus for a while now, about 3 years. And during this time, Jesus had already told you many great and wonderful things. And in those things, he told you that there's going to be a time where he would have to leave you. He would have to leave all of you. Okay. Well, that time has come. Is at this time, Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to leave you. Okay. But now, Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, realizes that you need to be assured. You need some assurances. Okay. You, in your own way, for you have made some sacrifices. Okay. I mean, you've put up with your buddies, your pals, your childhood friends teasing you, laughing at you, making jokes about you because you decided to follow this new kind of teaching about love and grace, and you want to follow this guy that's doing this kind of teaching. And you put up with all that kind of ridicule, all of that stuff, you know, and now you're telling me this is what you're saying to Jesus. You're getting ready to leave. You're getting ready to leave. So Jesus understands. He understands that, yes, okay, you at this point you do need some assurances, and you do need to be comforted. Okay. So Jesus starts to engage in some real talk to you, some real talk, some sincere things the Lord needs to share with you. Not that he hasn't been sharing so many sincere things with you already, but this, he realized you need this because he's not going to be there physically for you to see every day. When folks could start complaining and they want to do all of this teasing and all that stuff, he's not going to be there to take that weight. You're going to have to. People are not going to be able to point the finger at, there he is. There's that fanatic. That's that one that's going around doing all this teaching. No, they're going to start putting their fingers at you. There he is. There she is. Yeah, she's following that guy who's doing all of that different kind of teaching, that fanatic. Yes, you're going to become the fanatic now. You're going to be the one, okay, that not only will they start teasing and making jokes and saying things about you, oh, they'll do some things to you. Yeah, you may be getting up, getting ready to go to work and look down and see four flat tires. You may get up to a broken window in your car, and God forbid, some of you may have bricks and stones and stuff even thrown through your home windows. Oh, yes. You say, well, this is 2025. Folks are still doing these type of things. Oh, yes. And more. And worse. Okay? So Jesus, knowing all of this, knowing so much about the things that you are going to be going through and the feelings that you're feeling right this moment, he said, it's time for me to have a talk, some real talk with you. Okay. Now, when we look in the 13th chapter, in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, okay, starting at the 36th verse, for those of you who are trying to keep up now, I'm giving you a moment. For those of you who want to look at it later, I hope you write this down. Before we even engage in that 14th chapter, I want to pick up right here at the end of the 13th chapter. For here, you find these words. Okay. It says here, and I'm reading from the NIV. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Now, like I said, Jesus is telling him he's getting ready to go. Peter said, where are you going? And Jesus, look at what Jesus said to him. He said, where I'm going, you can't follow me. Okay, we've had some adventures together these past, you know, couple of few years. But where I'm going now, you can't follow me. Okay. But you will follow later. You can't follow me now, but you'll follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? Why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. That's what Peter said. I'll lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I'm gonna tell you something, Peter. Let me tell you something. I'm giving you some real straight talk here. Let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me. Let alone follow me, but you will disown me three times before the rooster even crows. Now, this is what he said to him. When we next pick up this real talk that Jesus is laying with them, now remember, he was focusing on Peter, but now he's saying everybody, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. It's gotten personal now. And this is what he said. He said, listen, do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay? I don't want you to be all upset. I don't want you to get down in the dumps. I don't want you to feel so desperate and disheartened. Okay? You believe in God. Your father's taught you about Jehovah God. And you've grown up believing in God. Well, believe in me too. I want you to believe also in me. You've walked with me. You've talked with me. You've seen some of the things that I've done. And you've heard me always give my Father the praise and the glory. Okay? I want you to believe in me. Now, I want you to hear this, all of you. Okay? I want you to hear this. Take this in personally. Listen to this. My father's house has many rooms. And sometimes you hear people when they quote me, they say, many mansions. But my father's place has a whole lot of room, a whole lot of space. Now, if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Now, why would I tell you I'm going to my father's house to prepare a place for you if it wasn't true? Just ponder that for a moment. And then, if I go and prepare a place for you, now I'm going and I'm going to get this place ready, get it together for you. Guess what? I will come back. See, remember I told you can't follow me now. I have to go and make some arrangements for you. Some arrangements for you. Okay? Now, are you picking up the comfort and the assurances he's giving you right now? Yes, I gotta go, but let me tell you where I'm part of what I'm getting ready to do. I'm going to my father's house and make a place there for you. Okay? Now, I'm not gonna send some of the angels, some of the cherubim, some of the seraphim, any of them. I'm not going to send any of them back for you. I'm not going to do that. I will come back. I will come back and take you myself. I'm going to come back and get you. You're important to me. I love you. Okay? I even call you friend as well as my brother, my sister, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back and take you to be what? There in that place by yourself? No. I'm going to take you to be there with me. I'm going to dwell with you in my father's house. We all will be there. Okay? Okay, so I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna get the place ready for you. I'm gonna come back and get you and take you there so that you could be right there where I am. But then he says something else to you. He says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Well, now you say, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know the way to the place where you go. You mean this place where you say we can't come now? We're gonna come later, and we're only gonna come there later because you're gonna come and take us. How are we gonna know the way to this place? This is what Thomas said. Like I told you, the disciples around there, and he's talking to each one. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we even know the way? All you said is your father's house. You didn't give us the street. You didn't tell us what community he's in, what village, what road to take. Are we going north, south, west, east? You didn't give us any of this. And I could just see Jesus just smiling. Not disgusted with them, because he understands that they're in shock, they're scared, and all kind of emotions going through their minds because they don't remember everything that he told them. So he made it very, very simple for them. This is what Jesus turned around and said to them, all of them, including you. This is what he said. I am the way. I'm the truth. And I am the life. I am the way. You want to know the way to my Father? I'm the way. No one, nobody. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care how much influence they have. I don't care what political position they have. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. This is what Jesus is saying to them. So now they're like, oh, wow. You're trying to tell me, even when you were ministering to that multitude, 5,000 at one shot, and 4,000 even later, none of them can get to your father's house unless you take them. And you've already told me that you're coming back to get me personally. Out of all these thousands of people who have come in contact with you, of all the thousands of people who've heard you minister, of all the thousands of people who came under your teaching, under all of those who you perform miracles in front of, you've even performed miracles for some of them. But you're coming back for me. You're not sending somebody back to get me. You are coming back to take me with you, that we might dwell in your Father's house together. Oh, what assurance do you think? Do you think they felt? What assurance do you feel, even in your very heart right now, knowing that Jesus is coming back for you? Because he said so, not because I said so. He said so. And we know that Jesus is not a man that he should lie. He's coming back for you personally. My Lord, have mercy. He says, if you really know me, you will know my Father. Oh, he said, wait a minute. Now, Jesus threw a little bit more in there. First, he said, we go to your Father's house. We know you. We spend time with you. Nights, days, good weather, bad weather, in the midst of ridicule, in the midst of people wanting to do physical harm to you and us for being with you. We kind of know you, Jesus. He said, yeah, well, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. What do y'all say? I'm a chip off the old block. He said, from now on, you do know him. and had seen him. Oh my goodness, you talk about assurances. You talk about comfort for them to realize all this time, we've been with you. Y'all are together. Now it's starting to make sense, Lord, when you've told us these things before we heard you and we were caught up maybe in the moment and we could repeat what you said and we could tell others what you said, but now we know what you've been saying to us. Now we got it. Now, Lord, I got it. You have made it simple for me. You have made it plain for me. You've let me know that you love me, not just because I'm part of a multitude. You love me. You love me. But all the thousands of people that you come in contact with, you love me enough that you're getting ready to go, like you told us, to Calvary's cross, to Golgotha's hill, to die for me. Oh, I know there's a lot of people here, and they may be feeling the same way. I don't know for a fact what they feel, but now I know. I've been assured that you're coming back for me. I know this now. But as you're saying this, as it is becoming real to you, you begin to think about all of the people who'll be residing in heaven. And you came to some conclusions. He said, well, God's house, this must be some kind of house. It must be humongous. Humongous. I mean, if it contains enough mansions or rooms or whatever it contains to accommodate all of the people that are going to be there, what kind of place must this be? Or maybe this should not be taken literally. That God has a big house. I mean, we're talking about God. We're talking about an omnipresent God. We're talking about an omniscient God. Why can't all of heaven be considered his house? Maybe a better word to use, okay? A better word to use than saying my father's house. Maybe I should be saying my father's abode, the place where my father lives, where he dwells, where he stays. Because I've been doing some thinking. I've been doing some thinking. And let me see. There are, at one point, I know that there was at least 2,000 demons because, Satan, when he left, he took a good bit of the angels with him, like two-thirds of them with him. Okay? I don't know how many that is. I don't know how many that is, but I do know for one guy had over 2,000 demons in him by himself. Just one guy. I ain't talking about the many that's out here in the world that are not following after Jesus, but following after Satan, those that he has demons running their life, if you want to call that living. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who worship Satan, a lot of people who openly worship and follow him. This is 2025, and there are literally thousands upon thousands of people who openly are following Satan. So If it was possible to name and number these demons, these fallen angels, let's just say hypothetically, there's 3 million of them. That means there's at least a million angels left that were left in heaven. But we have no idea how many it was. We know it was a bunch. And then I'm still thinking, there was a case where one angel got up there and fought, and I believe in one night he knocked out like 800, demons himself, fought with them, 800, something like that. There's still a lot of people that's just in heaven. I'm just trying to use some numbers. Okay, and then I remember reading and hearing about this John looking in heaven and talked about a number that no man could number. And then I think about the millions and millions of people who have gone on and who will go on, because we're all going to be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Now, I don't know when he's coming to get me. He might come and get me before everybody else is caught up. So I'll be in that group of those who have gone on already, but going on, and then those who are still around will be caught up together. If together, we're going to go up. So no matter what, whether the Lord come and get me before the rapture happens, or he gets me just for the rapture, I'm gonna be caught up with millions of people. And just think that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me. Not just part of the millions and of those that will be there, but I know he went to prepare a place for me. Because he gave us some real talk. He took us and told us it's getting ready to get rough now. While I was here in the world with you, I am the light. But guess what? I'm getting ready to leave, and you will be the light. You gotta let your light shine now. When you have an opportunity to testify about the Lord, you're letting your light shine. When you have an opportunity to give a witness for the Lord, you're letting your light shine. When you have an opportunity to allow some of the fruit of the Spirit that dwells within you, when you allow that fruit to be shown, to be used, you are letting your light shine. When you make a stand for the cause of Christ, knowing that you may have just lost a pal, you may just lost an old lifelong friend, you have just got yourself disinvited, uninvited to the next party, the next gathering, because the folks don't want to be around the Jesus fanatic. When you do these things, you are letting your light shine. When you take a stand, you don't have to be a bold stand. You can be a quiet stand. Everybody's going to this affair. He said, no, I'm not going. They may ask you why. You said, no, I'm just not going. And if they pressure you, you might just tell them, well, I can't go that night because that's my Bible study night. And I can't go that way because that's something that the Lord does not want me to do. If I go there to that thing that you want me to go to, you may not ever say it to me, but you'll be saying to yourself, huh, he's going to be walking with the Lord or making a stand for the Lord, but yet he's willing to go to the same place I'm going, knowing full well what all's going to be there. No, I'm not going to sit there and smoke no weed and take no other drugs and do a whole lot of lascivious things, but that's going to be going on there. And that's not a good testimony. That's not a place for me. I'm not going in and tell and lie to them and fool myself that I'm going there so I can be a witness for the Lord. I'm not going to tell that lie. Because I know when I get there, I'm going to be doing some of the things that they're doing. Everything is not a sin, but it may be a stumbling block. Even for some of those who are there who might have been thinking about, yeah, I'm gonna go to Brother Cotton's next Bible study. Oh, there go Brother Cotton over there. Well, he's right here doing the same thing. They don't know that what's in my hand might be ginger ale or seltzer water, but it looks just like what everybody else is doing. Now, as a believer, you say, well, hey, if I'm not sure about what you're doing, I'm supposed to go in and ask you. But what about that baby? What about that one that's thinking of becoming a believer? What about that one who doesn't know the scriptures like that? Did I just become a stumbling block? That would have never happened if I wasn't there. And that is not the atmosphere I need to be in. And you know this. Yet, you're saying, no, I'm going to make my stand with the Lord. I don't care what others think. I don't care if the Lord allows me to stay until I'm 100 plus years old. That is still nothing, no time compared to the eternity that I'll have to spend with him. No, I'm going to, you know, he died for me. The least I can do is live for him. That's what I'm going to do. And I realize I'm human, and sometimes it's going to seem like I just can't push on. It gets to be very lonely sometimes. It feels very lonely. Sometimes I feel as though I'm like I'm the only one here. But that's when I can look into this word that Jesus left me. We call it the Holy Bible. That's when I can be reminded when he says, I'll never leave you. And I won't forsake you. I'm going to be right there with you. And I don't care what everybody else is saying. I don't care how influential this politician sounds, or that politician, or this false teacher, that false prophet, or these people. My word will not pass away. I left you my word, this Holy Bible, my words, the words that came from my very breath. I left you this. In here, you will find the prescriptions you need for the times you need them. In here, you will find the instructions you need for the time you need them. In here, you will find directions how to get from earth to glory. In here, you'll see that this word will lead you right straight back to me. Because the only way you're going to get from earth to glory, as I've already told you, is through me. And that's what this word will show you, how to get to me. What you have to do to not just get with me, to stay with me, to walk with me, to talk with me, to meditate with me, to find solitude with me, is all in my word. Didn't I tell you I'm the way, but I also told you I'm the what? The truth. This is what Jesus is. And I am the life. Walk with me. Talk with me. Follow my instructions. Let my words hide deep into the recesses of your heart, that you might not sin against me. Follow my word. This is real talk, beloved. This was real talk he gave them as he was getting ready to depart from them. He spoke with them like he had not spoken to them before. He made it real to them what you're about to get into. It was one thing when I'm physically right there, you can look over there and look to me. But when you look over there and see that I'm not there, and realize you have to stand, and realize also that I've given you everything that you need in order to stand. I'm going to leave you everything you need in order to succeed. Beloved, I'm saying this to you as I prepare to close this whole Bible, the whole Bible, the whole Word of God is real talk. It's real. And you know it's real. You know it's real. Don't be in denial as you look around and see the Word of God opening up, revealing itself to you daily. You say, my gosh, am I reading the Holy Writ that's been around for thousands of years, or am I reading the daily newspaper? Because there's so many things that have been prophesied that are opening up right before my eyes. I know now that Jesus was giving me real talk. This thing is real. I'm watching folks fall by the wayside by the thousands, maybe even by the millions. I'm looking at folks being devastated all around me, yet it has not come nigh my dwelling. And as I was reading in the Word, I heard it. I see what the Lord said. No, it won't come nigh to you. It won't come to you. You continue to walk in the path that I have set for you. I've ordered your steps. You continue to walk in the path that I have already ordered for you, in the steps that I have ordered for you. Go in the way that I have for you. You'll be just like the people out there in the army on the battlefield. You go the way I tell you, you can get around. You can go past the mines that have been set there to blow you up. You go in the path that I have for you. Don't you realize that Satan has mines, hurdles, ditches, holes, all kinds of things in your path to keep you from getting to me, to keep you from going where I want you to go, to keep you from being the witness you're supposed to be, to keep you from allowing your light to shine where I want it to shine. But you stay on the path that I have set for you. How are you going to know this path? It's in my book. And I have promised to teach you what's in this book so you can understand it. Remember what the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip when he asked him, did he understand what he was reading? He said, no, there's no one to teach me. There's no one to tell me what I'm reading. Well, see, Jesus is saying to you right now, I'll be your teacher. The Holy Spirit, which will indwell in you, my Spirit, which will indwell in you, will teach you. And right now you're saying, I want it. Lord, I want it. And Jesus is saying to you, you can have it. Only thing is, you must be born again to get it. You have to believe that I am who I say I am. You have to believe that I'll do what I say I'll do. You have to believe that I suffered, bled, died, resurrected, and went up, ascended into heaven for you. And you have to believe that you needed it. You have to believe that you were so sinful that my Heavenly Father said, no, you can't come to my house like that. Can't come to my house like that. You need to be born again. As I look at you, it's nothing I can do with that. But you just got to be born again. You're a mess. You was born in sin, and I can't have anything but something holy in my house. And the only thing that can cleanse you and make you whole is the blood of Jesus Christ, again, which was shed for you and for me. You take this personally. That's why the Lord said, yeah, I'll come back for you. I'll come back for you. You say, Lord, I want you to come back for me. I want to be born again. I want to be cleansed by your blood. I do believe that you allowed your blood to be shed for me. I'm taking this personally, Lord. I'm taking it personally. I want you, Lord, to be my Savior. I know that you're Lord, and I know that you're a Savior, but I want you to be my Lord, my Savior. I make this thing personal. I don't know if I'm going to be caught up because so many others are being caught up. I don't know that. But when you talk to me personally, when you gave me this real talk, when you let me know that you love me and that you're coming back for me, with all the thousands of people, and I might be part of that number, but when I know for a fact that you're coming back for me, oh, my soul is comforted. I have the blessed assurance of your salvation and of your word and of your faithfulness. Oh, I know that I can fall short. I know that I can fall down. I know that I can make mistakes. I know that I can just not go where you told me to go. But it's so good to know that you are faithful. That even though I may stray off the path that you told me to be on, it's good to know that you're still right there with me. It's good to know that surely goodness, mercy is still following me. All, not most, not some, all the days of my life. That means in the good days, and it means in the bad days. It means in the days that I'm standing tall. It means in the days that I've fallen down. Goodness, mercy. It's still right there. I couldn't make it without it. It's not because I deserve it, because Lord, you sent them. You have them watching my back. They're following me. They're watching my back. You gave me armor to fight with. You didn't give me anything to put strap onto my back. He said, no, you don't need it. I got goodness and mercy following. I got your back. I got your whole being in the hollow of my hand. Why? Because I love you. And you showing your love by even desiring to do and to be what I want you to be right in the center of my will for you. And you believe. That's the key. You believe. Because if you didn't believe, I wouldn't be happy with you. Because without faith, it's impossible to please me. You must have faith. You must have it. So Jesus gave them real talk before he left them. And that real talk could be found right in the Holy Bible that he left for us to follow it. That when the day comes, when he comes back for you, he can look and say, yeah, you believe. And you still believe. You know, come on, faithful servant. Well done. You put up with all the antagonism. You put up with all the ridicule. You put up with all the laughing. You put up being cast out of all of what the folks thought was the good times. He said, nah, what better time can it be to know that when the day comes that I get to be with my Lord and my Savior, that it's going to be rejoicing such as has never been before, and I'm going to be part of it. You talk about a gathering. You talk about a party. It's going to be the ultimate gathering and the ultimate party. And I am going to be there. And it's not going to start can't start till I get there. Why? Because my Lord says so. My Lord says so. My Savior says so. He told me that, and he gave me that real talk. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to hear your word. And we pray, Lord, that it would sink deep down into the recesses of our very souls, leading us, guiding us, directing us each and every day, each and every moment of each and every day. We pray, Lord, that even as we continue on through this day, that we can do so living, walking in your spirit, living in such a manner, governing ourselves in such a way that even those in the world will be able to look and see you through us, that you might get the glory and the honor out of our life living. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.